from Southern California, certainly one of my favorite authors, my favorite video producers, I should say. His name is Chris Pinto. We're going to be talking about his new video he's put out along with Pastor Joe Schimmel. And for those of you who don't know who Joe Schimmel is, then why he's the pastor who put out They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. So, of course, Chris has put out Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and if you haven't seen those, why, you've missed a real treat. And now he's put out a new video on Harry Potter. So, Chris, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me again, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't you tell our listeners why Harry Potter is important? After all, we've heard a lot about Harry Potter, but a lot of our Christian ministries don't seem to be very upset about this. Certainly our schools aren't upset about this. Many of them are actually pushing the Harry Potter books in school because, after all, the children get fascinated with them and they're learning to read, and isn't that good? I mean, isn't reading important?
Well, that's what we hear, and that's certainly the way the Potter books were introduced into the schools. In fact, a lot of people don't realize it, but the Harry Potter series had already been published in England, but it was not so successful that J.K. Rowling became the international sensation that she has now become. But what happened was the books were picked up by Scholastic, her publisher, and they began to get them into the school system.
Now, Scholastic is the largest textbook publisher here in the United States, aren't they?
I believe that's correct.
Right.
But it was Scholastic that began to get the Harry Potter books into the school system and send them to school teachers and so on, and to get them to introduce the books to the kids. And this is what turned Harry Potter into a sensation. And of course, there are those who argue that it would have never gotten into our school system if it hadn't been first endorsed by a number of Christian ministries and Christian leaders who should have been sounding a trumpet, an alarm against this, because this is something that openly teaches witchcraft and black magic and so on, something clearly condemned in the Bible, and yet many Christian leaders, men like Chuck Colson, and others, magazines like Christianity Today, have openly endorsed the books and encouraged people to read them. And this is, what many researchers attribute to what has allowed. It's because the watchmen who were on the wall and who should have been stopping this actually opened the door wide and said, come on in, that Harry Potter has become the sensation it is.
Now, why would Christian ministries endorse a book that would introduce our children to witchcraft? Would we be like having them read pornography? Because, well, after all, they're reading, and yet, of course, this pornography would lead our children astray, and certainly introducing them to witchcraft and glorifying witchcraft and spells and the supernatural is going to lead our children astray, and it's had a phenomenal impact on the minds of our children.
It really has. A lot of people don't realize how huge the Harry Potter books are. They've been translated into 55 different languages at last count. Everything from, as CNN puts it, they say they've been translated in every language from Albanian to Zulu.
And Chris has done a magnificent job on this video, exactly as he did in his Megiddo 1 series, which, of course, was the story of prophecy. And, of course, I know that some Bible teachers actually use Megiddo 1 because it takes you from the prophecies of Daniel all the way up to what's going on today. World War I, World War II, World War III, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, false prophets, and then, of course, the true prophecies of the one true God. And then, of course, the second video, Megiddo 2, which is, of course, an excellent three-hour, very professionally done video and going into the background of the occult forces in our society. And, of course, that leads directly into Harry Potter. And, of course, its profound impact on our society today. So, well, you have some magnificent footage in there of the Harry Potter films, and so much of the material on Harry Potter, really, it's very, very beautifully done.
Yeah, we put it together as part of a new series that we're doing with Pastor Joe called The Occult Agenda. And it's really just talking about exactly that, the agenda of the occult realm. And I really like Pastor Joe's perspective on it because his argument, as he points out in the Rock video, is that No, the video is called Harry Potter, A Spirit Conspiracy, with a question mark at the end, because J.K. Rowling claims in her quotes and things that she said and so on that Harry Potter came to her fully formed. She talks about, she even writes about in her books, about opening the inner eye, that third eye that we know in the occult, whether it's Hinduism or various forms of witchcraft and so on. Occultists are always looking to open that third eye, which allows them to see into the spirit realm. And so J.K. Rowling talks about seeing in her mind's eye Harry Potter, and talks about how Potter came to her fully formed, and the other characters with him, as though something or someone presented these characters to her, as though they had already been designed by somebody else who presented them to Rowling in her mind's eye, and then she just wrote them down in her books.
Well, I think what you're really describing is somebody who is channeling from another force, another spirit, and they're channeling these ideas to her. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's what we believe she's doing. Now, what the reason I say I'm using phrases like mind's eye and strolled into her mind and fully formed and so on is because these are her words. This is what she says about the work. I think you and I would call it a form of spirit channeling. I don't know that she is, she's talked about how since childhood that she's had a fascination with witchcraft, and that even before she began the Harry Potter books, that she had an extensive knowledge of old world English witchcraft and so on.
And of course, basically so much of her books really comes right out of the books on witchcraft. This is what we're training our children. It's sort of like a how to do it book.
Right. She talks about how a percentage, and I can't remember if she said 50% or something like that, but that a percentage of the stuff that she puts in her books comes from, like, real witchcraft, and then a part of it is from her imagination. Certainly it only takes, you know, one drop of cyanide and a cup of coffee to kill somebody. She's admitting that there is plenty of real-world, real-life occultism in her books, and certainly anybody who's familiar with the practices of the occult and so on, you can read passages in her book or read about different things that she's got in her books and so on, and recognize that it's a very real representation of sorcery. And she talks about how how these characters came to her fully formed and as though they were something that was designed beforehand, and she saw it on this train ride, and she talks about that train ride in her interviews, and you know, talks about it being the most remarkable train ride she ever took, and then of course you see the Hogwarts train in the Harry Potter books, where Harry gets on the train and he's on a journey now that takes him to Hogwarts. And it seems to parallel her own experience, almost as though the train that she took led her into the occult realm, and so she's pictured that now in the Harry Potter books themselves.
And of course, we're really talking about, through the miracle, of course, of television, through the miracle of motion picture, through the miracle of mass distribution and mass printing, literally hundreds of millions of children and even adults have been introduced to the exciting world of witchcraft through the writings of Harry Potter writings. And the average individual has no idea that we are seeing today a world that is becoming increasingly wicked, focusing on the metaphysical, focusing on the dark side, focusing on the supernatural. And, of course, it is fascinating. I will tell you it's fascinating, but, of course, you'd venture into this at the risk of eternal damnation.
Well, certainly that's Jesus and all the prophets and writers of the Scripture make it very clear that those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's very difficult to imagine or to realize how anybody in the Christian community, any pastor, a teacher, a leader, anyone, would endorse these books, much less encourage people to read them or to suggest that there's nothing harmful within them. I mean, Rowling herself has admitted that the books. She admitted, like several books ago, that her series was going to get darker and darker as it went along. And if you study witchcraft, it usually begins with white witchcraft, which is, you know, sort of the peace and love, and you're doing spells and blessings and this kind of thing. And then slowly, as a witch passes from one degree to the next, the degrees become darker and darker until one day it's revealed to them who the horned god of witchcraft really is. Because initially they don't know who the horned god is. They think that Pan is just, you know, this happy-go-lucky fairy that gives them power to cast spells and so on. And it's only when they cross a certain line into the darkest form, or the dark, you know, the dark arts, that it's revealed that Pan is actually Satan. And I remember having a conversation with a girl a couple of years ago who had an interest in Wicca, which is witchcraft, it's white witchcraft, and talking to this girl, and was talking to her about the horned god of witchcraft, and she was like, Pan? And she was really excited that I was talking about Pan. And I told her, you know, because she was dabbling on the fringe of the witchcraft realm, and I told her that, you know, if she pursued this, that eventually it would be revealed to her that Pan was in fact Satan. And she was just blown away by that. She was shocked. She was like, Pan? Are you serious? Oh, come on. You know, she was very, very surprised by it. It's something that we as Christians who research these kind of things, we would take that for granted. But it's amazing how many people don't realize Satan's deception in the witchcraft realm. In fact, we make the point, the father of modern Wicca is a man named Gerald Gardner, who really sort of launched the modern Wicca movement. He's called the father of modern Wicca. But we make the point in our Harry Potter documentary that Gardner was in fact inspired by the Satanist Aleister Crowley. And Crowley was very clearly a black magician. As many of us know, he was known as the wickedest man in the world. He openly worshipped Satan and admitted that profusely in his writings, as much as certain Crowleyites have tried to alienate Satanism and Crowley. It's just not to be done. He was just abundantly given over to every satanic abomination that you could imagine.
And you covered that beautifully. Which in Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, I remember you covered that beautifully.
We talk about Crowley in Megiddo 2 and his just his witchcraft and his relationship to the occult, but we give a different overview of Crowley. I wanted to talk about some different things on Crowley in Harry Potter, but just to let people know who Crowley was, to give him a brief overview, and also to talk about his relationship with Gerald Gardner, and how Gardner was actually a member of Crowley's OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, which was Crowley's organization. And Gardner was a member of the OTO, and Crowley apparently, you know, gave him the authority to start his own group and encouraged him in Wicca. And in fact, a high priestess named Mary Nesnik, I believe is her name, is quoted saying that 50% of modern Wicca was bought and paid for by Gerald Gardner from Aleister Crowley. And Satanists like Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan, have openly admitted that there's no difference between white witchcraft and black witchcraft, that it's all, you know, white magic and black magic are one and the same thing. It's just that white magicians are deceived into thinking, you know, that what they're doing is something good, or that it can be used for a good purpose and so on. And it's just a matter of time before it's revealed to them that really the lord of all witchcraft is the devil himself.
And, of course, Aleister Crowley lived on Loch Ness in Scotland. And he was known by the people who lived close to him as the other Loch Ness monster.
Right.
And you have to really understand. In fact, I think it was Jimmy Page of the Led Zeppelins, and we carry a book called Fallen Angel, going into the Led Zeppelin rock group. But their chief guitarist was... he was a Satanist. He bought Aleister Crowley's house. It all ties together. Of course, nobody's going to tell you this. Certainly, you're not going to get this from Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh. They're not going to tell you we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind, for the souls of our children, with the survival of Western civilization. But that's what Chris Pinto does so well. In his videos, Megiddo 1, which is 2.25 hours, very professionally done. Megiddo 2, which is 3 hours, and I'm in that one for just a little bit. And then, of course, in his latest production, Harry Potter, and you really need to get that because, of course, we're talking about the powerful spiritual forces that dominate the world today. There are a lot of people who sort of scoff at this. Oh, you know, you're just looking for something to be concerned about. Well, I will tell you that the most rapid growing religion in the United States is not the Muslim faith, it's witchcraft. And witchcraft is growing by leaps and bounds. You go up on the internet, you'll find literally thousands and thousands of sites dealing with witchcraft and the supernatural and Luciferianism and Satanism, and it's all there. And of course, this is certainly opening people to the dark side. And so many people get involved in this. You've probably heard me tell the story before of when I did a nationwide program, I guess it was about a year ago. It was called Unscrewed. Now, this is a network that is aimed at the young people, the people who are into the internet, the people who are into the computers, the computer nerds, but they've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of listeners, the most bizarre network I've ever seen, but it's up there. I had about a 6-minute segment to talk about Luciferianism, the symbol on the back of the dollar bill, witchcraft and Satanism. I got this incensed letter from a witch who told me that, how dare I say that there was any relationship between witchcraft and Luciferianism. Now, I didn't say that witches were Luciferians, although they all get their power from the same site, from the same source, but she was telling me about white witches and of course, dark witches or black witches, and she was a white witch. She was a good witch, and her remark in the email, and I kept this because I thought it was so important. She said, we have our spells and we learn how to do our incantations because we want to contact beings from another dimension. We want to contact the beings from another dimension, and that's what it's all about. They are contacting beings from another dimension who will give them tremendous power. What we're talking about, of course, is contacting demons. We've got Brian calling from Chicago. Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing great.
I just wanted to call in and say hi to Chris and tell him that Megiddo was an excellent video.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brian.
It's a really great way for someone to get introduced to the New World Order and what it's all about and take it in a chronological sense and biblical sense. Also, I like the... It was good narration you did there, and as well the animation in the beginning.
Wasn't that great animation? I really think Chris did a great job on that. Are you talking about Megiddo 1 or Megiddo 2?
I saw the first one.
Okay,
that's very good. Order the second.
Right. Well,
have you seen the second one yet?
No, I have not, but I ordered it for a friend.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hope your friend will let you watch it then.
Right. I'll order it for myself pretty soon.
Well, the thing of it, please try to get those people back there in the Windy City listening to our programs so we can introduce them to these ideas. This is what the church ought to be doing. They ought to be warning the people about the spiritual battle we're engaged in. But they're just so wound up doing other things and supporting the Bush administration and entertaining the people that they're not telling them about the spiritual battle we're involved in.
Right. Anything they're mostly caring people here, like it makes a difference.
Anything else you wanted to say, Brian?
No, that should do it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
Thanks
your
a lot.
Call.
Thanks,
Let's
Brian.
Go to Robert, who's calling us from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Thanks so much for taking my call. Once again, a great show. And hello, Chris Pinto.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Haven't had the pleasure of watching any of your material yet, but I think I better. Sounds like it's pretty good stuff.
Well, that's why we really carry these things, Robert, because, you know, we try to carry things we think that really put the message out. And, you know, I think Chris has done a magnificent job with his material.
A couple of points. Number one, Chris, I think you said earlier in the program that in the beginning when J.K. Rowling's books first were released in Europe, they were very... weak sellers, is that correct?
That is something that I got. There's a great website that deals with a lot of the Harry Potter stuff on search resources online, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And has a lot of material, a lot of exhaustive material on the Harry Potter books, but that was something that I didn't know until I started working on, I was, you know, doing the editing for Harry Potter, and just started doing some support research for our narration and so on, and found that out. I was very surprised.
Nobody wasn't until the Scholastic picked it up here in the United States and started pushing it, and our major Christian ministry started pushing it. That is what gave it the impetus, and it became such a phenomenon that now, of course, Miss Rawlings is a billionaire. Well, it sounds to me as if she is channeling many of these ideas, and this is what so many of our writers do. They actually channel ideas from the dark side. So many of the people, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who is a good friend of Chris's, started out in rock music, and he was channeling the lyrics. You listen to Bob Dylan, he talks about how when he started writing his music, it just sort of, the lyrics came out of nowhere. He couldn't do it now, but those lyrics just sort of came to him. There's a 12-year-old boy who writes symphonies. He never makes a mistake. He always writes them exactly perfectly. Beethoven, Bach, all the great composers of the past, I mean, you can see the scores that they wrote. They went over them again and again. This boy channels these symphonies directly. He writes them perfectly the first time. He knows what they are. They just come to him out of nowhere. He never had any musical training at all, and yet he knew everything about music. People say he's a genius. Well, he may very well be, but I fear that he is channeling a great deal of what he's doing. These supernatural occurrences are becoming increasingly frequent, and this is one reason I believe that we are certainly, if not in, we are certainly approaching the latter days. Anything else you wanted to say, Robert?
No, Dr. Stan, thank you and your guest, Chris Petro. Great show. Keep up the good work. God bless.
God bless, and please get all those people there in Denver listening to us.
Sounds good.
Good night.
Take care, Robert. God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Robert. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here on the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. That's 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And the problem is that most Americans have no idea we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. All of the organizations we talk about, whether it be the Masons, whether it be the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, or the Order of the Quest, or the Rosicrucians, or the Theosophists, or the Skull and Bone Society, or the Priory of Sion, or the Hierarchy, or all of these are being energized from the dark side. A lot of the people in those organizations have no idea. I don't think most Masons have any idea what Masonry is about. There's only a very small group that do, and they are energized from the dark side. And, of course, they will openly admit it. If you read their writings, it's all there. They talk about Lucifer and the worship of Lucifer and gaining the seething energies of Lucifer. That's what it's all about. Because there is power there to be obtained, but you do so at the risk of eternal damnation. So, Chris, how are we going to educate the people? I think your videos are an excellent means of doing that.
Well, we're trying to do that. We're trying to show one of the parallels that Pastor Joe shows, and we come in and we give some support information on it, is we just talk about the influence of the materials that a person is exposed to, and we provide the example of Ted Bundy, who is, you know, many of us know was a serial killer and murdered potentially as many as 100 women or more in his lifetime before he was, you know, caught and ultimately executed. But he, you know, has a famous interview with Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family, where he talks about, and we show a clip from that. And he's talking about how his lawyer is talking about how he got involved, how he was himself desensitized a little bit at a time into becoming a serial killer. And it began with the materials that he was reading. And he was just reading some of these detective magazines, not necessarily anything that we would think was all that harmful, but it slowly but surely desensitized him. one step at a time, and he went, you know, from the first level to the second, and so on.
Well, he was in a lot of pornography, though, wasn't he?
Certainly.
That whole emphasis or the thrust of that interview, he was talking about he began increasingly centered on pornography and then the violence
right.
that goes along with it and the mistreatment of women and all of these things.
Right, but I mean that was you know where he ended up and you know deep into porn and then he went from there into you know, actually acting out his fantasies and so on. But I found it very interesting, and the clip that we show is where he's just talking about, or his lawyer is talking about, just the materials he was reading, because we're trying to relate that, of course, to some extent to the Harry Potter books, that it can begin that way. And again, we're not trying to say that, you know, everybody who starts reading certain materials is going to turn into Ted Bundy. But it was very interesting, Bundy's warning, because he talks about a lot of the materials that are out there, and not just pornography. I mean, there's stuff that has pornographic, if you will, content that is not necessarily called pornography in our society. A lot of videos, you know, that are out there, music videos, and a lot of TV shows, and, you know, they seem to be coming out with more and more, you know, sexual and degrading, you know, like this Desperate Housewives show that they've got. That's apparently a runaway hit. And people are just becoming more and more desensitized in our culture. And these ideas and so on are being normalized. Well, the point that Pastor Joe makes in the Harry Potter video is that sorcery throughout the Bible is equated to sexual sin. It's mentioned right alongside sexual sin. And declared an abomination by God. I believe the reason for that is because just as a man and a woman, you know, in a marriage, in a perfect relationship, that's a picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Okay? So fornication and adultery and so on that is practiced, for example, in the world, is a violation of God's perfect plan that He has for men and women. Well, so it is when a man who's been created by God for the purpose of having that relationship with God, shuns God and decides to go off and take on some other foreign spirit rather than God's Holy Spirit, some demonic spirit. God refers to this as harlotry or whoredom or, you know, spiritual unfaithfulness to God. And that's what witchcraft is all about, is rather than seeking to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit to live a holy and a godly life, people are out seeking the empowerment of Satan and his demons to empower them, to give them all those things, those desires that they have in their heart that they're trying to carry out. And this is harlotry against the Lord. And God calls it repeatedly an abomination in the Old Testament and in the New. And it's clearly condemned. So it's very puzzling how anybody in any church anywhere could endorse these books or books that are normalizing these ideas or conditioning our children or desensitizing them to these things.
All right, well, we've got a caller who called in. They didn't want to come on the air, but they asked, wouldn't our kids be better off knowing what's in these books if the other students and friends are reading the books? And so how would you reply to that?
Wouldn't our kids be better off?
Well, knowing or reading the books themselves, after all, everybody's reading them. So shouldn't they be reading them, too, because everybody else is reading them and talking about them?
Well, the Bible talks about how we're supposed to live holy lives, and the word holy means separate. The only way we could, you know, compel the world, if you will, I mean, it's one thing if somebody's going to do research for the purpose of witnessing to other people about the books. That I wouldn't find, you know, objectionable. But in terms of holiness, you know, Paul talks at one point when he's writing about those who are eating meat sacrificed to idols. He says, if you go to a feast and you sit down and somebody puts a plate of food in front of you, go ahead and receive it, you know, and don't ask any questions. But if they put the plate of food in front of you and they say, hey, this was sacrificed to idols, then he says, you know, to refuse it for the sake of him that offered it. In other words, you want to let that person know, hey, I'm a Christian, and I don't partake of things like that. Well, why? Well, because, you know, that's contrary to the God of the Bible. That's contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he requires that I be holy from those things. If Christians would take a stand against these books and say, you know what, I'm not going to read those books. Why? Because I believe in Jesus Christ, and he condemns sorcery and witchcraft and the occult. I think that would set a much better beacon of light for the people of the world.
And I think that the point that Joe Schimmel makes in the films, that is, look, well, other kids are reading pornography. Should we have our kids read pornography because other kids are reading pornography? I mean, what's the difference between whether they're reading about sorcery and getting involved in that and filling their minds with that, or filling their minds with pornography, as Ted Bundy did? The next question that comes along was, well, but shouldn't the Christian teaching and the Christian knowledge that we've given our children be able to allow them to withstand the evil of reading these books? After all, we've brought them up in the way of the Lord. How can we possibly be harmed, you know, just simply reading about witchcraft?
Well, I mean, I think this is where I just agree with what you just said and with what Pastor Joe says in the video. I mean, you wouldn't hand your child a book on pornography and say, well, we raise them up with Christian values so they can withstand this pornographic material and allow them to be exposed to it. That doesn't make any sense. So why would it make sense to expose them to witchcraft and sorcery and so on? Especially when it's being done in such a way that in the books it's normalized. It's, you know, it's acceptable. It's glorified. Actually, if you're not into witchcraft in the Harry Potter books, you're condemned. I mean, you're looked down upon. You're called a muggle and you're made fun of and so on, generally speaking. Although there are some muggles that are acceptable, but so that's what I would say to that, Doug.
Oh, no, remember, I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Right.
I don't believe this. I believe these things are terrible things because our battle is all taking place in our minds. And, you know, if we aren't filled with good thoughts and righteous thoughts and pure thoughts, why, we're going to be consumed by the evil, because man's very nature is evil. We are all sinners, and the only thing that saves us is God, and he gives us the strength to resist. But when we give in to the dark side, why, we lose the battle. Let's go to Roger calling again. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-Liberty-464-8295. I think that reading books like this, if you are reading them for anything other than research, and sometimes I do read some of this purely for research, but I understand what the battle is, and hopefully I will not succumb to it, but I don't recommend that anybody else do that. Roger, do you have another question for our guest?
Yes, if you please. My question ties in the desensitization to the occult and Freemasonry. With last hour's mention of the Von Trapp of the Sound of Music fame, family, and more than that, of course, and that is, do either of you recall, if not merely being against Hitler, if they were an expressly and articulately Christian family back then?
You're talking about the Von Trapp family and the Sound of Music?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I think that certainly the part that Julie Andrews played was, of course, she was coming from a convent. She was a nun, and she was giving this up. So certainly she was a strongly Christian. As far as the Von Trapp, there was nothing there to suggest that he himself was a Christian. But, you know, there was a wonderful, wonderful story. And I think, of course, the part that was portrayed of the nun, you know, you've got to do what you want to do, you know, what you feel called to do, what you feel that God wants you to do. And if God doesn't want you to be a nun, then you may very well be better off marrying this man, leaving the nunnery.
Yeah.
But God doesn't necessarily insist that you be a nun, but, of course, that you be faithful. That was the message that I got from it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, you know, I don't know anything about the real-life Von Trapp family, although a few bits and pieces here, but growing up, I mean, my family, we grew up with the Sound of Music. It was the first videotape that my dad ever bought when VCRs first came out, and my sister watched it probably 500 times, so I know every song, to, you know, backwards and forwards, so I don't know if I'm going to be any help on this question, because I thought it was a beautiful story, too.
Yeah, I just thought it might have been counter-Christocentric in that
way. I don't really think it was. But
No, I just thought they took on an engagement this past winter at the local Masonic Scottish Rite Cathedral, and I just wondered if Grandpa would be rolling in his grave about now. God bless you all.
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Chris Pinto, and we're talking about, well, his videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. Excellent, but Certainly, we're also talking about his latest production of going into this this occult agenda, and of course, his first film in the occult agenda is Harry Potter, and certainly this deals with this spiritual conspiracy. I think there's no question at all that the end result of this really is being directed from the dark side, whether the writer realizes this at all or not. But you do not get this sort of play from the controlled media and from Hollywood unless there is, I believe, a satanic force behind you. If you were going to put out a film that was glorifying Christianity, you would get tremendous criticism. You would be attacked by the media, as, of course, the recent film on the crucifixion of Christ was. The only reason, of course, this was had the coverage it did was because they actually were able to get this and buy time in private movie theaters. Everything was done to stop the distribution of this film. But, of course, it gained tremendous notoriety, and to Mel Gibson's credit, why it was a success. But, of course, Rawlings, of course, didn't have to do anything on her own. There was a force behind this book, behind its distribution, behind its publicity, and we have to ask, what is that force?
Can I say one more thing, Dr. Stan?
Go right ahead.
I wanted to mention on the show one of the elements that we bring in, and this is where, to me, it becomes really clear what's going on. One of the things that we talk about in Megiddo 1 and 2, and Pastor Joe talks about it just from the musical perspective and how the world is being impacted with this ecumenical interfaith movement that's designed to unify all the world religions. And that's really what we talk about in Megiddo Part 2, how all of the religions of the world, whether it's, you know, so-called Christianity with Buddhism and Hinduism and all the other, whether it's voodoo priests and so on, are all being embraced. But right alongside the embracement of all the world religions is the embracement of Wicca, witchcraft. In fact, here in California, Chapman University, that used to be a Christian university, and I say used to be because now they've built their All Saints or All Faith Chapel there, which they built a number of years ago, and it embraces and allows Wicca worship. Okay, and there's a number of colleges and universities throughout the country that are beginning to embrace this, and we show in the Harry Potter video how Wicca is being embraced by the interfaith movement, and we give an example of a Wiccan high priest who's performing a spell, an invocation, right alongside an Episcopalian bishop, a man who should be a servant, or at least professes to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he's partaking in a witchcraft ritual with really what we would understand as a satanic high priest.
Well, I know, it's so interesting. The Archbishop of Canterbury just happens to also be a druid. Well, how can he be a druid and the Archbishop of Canterbury? Very easy. In a world that's gone mad, where we've broken down, you know, the relationship between Christianity and the occult, why shouldn't the Archbishop of Canterbury be a druid?